All right, if not, we will be in Psalm 119. Psalm 119. This is the longest psalm in the Bible. Don't get scared that we're 176 verses. We're only going to look at four, so don't be too worried. This is also the longest chapter in the Bible, and you think about what could the topic of the longest psalm, the longest chapter in the Bible, what would be the topic that we could that would be talked so much about in one place, and it's the Bible. This is the psalm that's dedicated to the scriptures, and you know, some of these are pretty popular to memorize, like verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. A lot of times we memorize that. And then 105 is another good one. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, it is full of verses like that. But even in between, I believe there's a lot of blessings in here. And, you know, you think about whenever we talk about the Word of God, it is special. You know, I hope you believe that. I hope you believe that God's Word is special to us. But we're going to look just the first four verses of Psalm 119 tonight. And it says this, Psalms 119 verse 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, we thank you for the psalm about the word. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to get a desire and that we would learn about your word and that we would make it the center point of our life. Lord, we thank you for this church. Thank you for all the things that you're doing in our lives and in our families. And Lord, we pray tonight that hearts would be opened, minds would be open, and that the Holy Spirit would give unction and would help us tonight. And in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Amen. So one of the things that sets this church apart from many others, unfortunately, is the fact we believe here that the Bible is complete. The Bible is error-free. It is perfect. And it's sad that you would have to say something like that. But, you know, more and more I see people that look at God's Word and maybe they don't go right out and say it. But a lot of times they look at it as if it is, maybe it was perfect in the beginning, but through over time and copying and everything else that it's full of errors now. I don't believe that. I believe, see, here's the thing. You can't have a higher view of God than you have of His Word. Because if you think that His Word only works for way back when the first time it was given, then you don't have a high view of God. Because I believe the same God. I don't understand how someone could say that I trust God to keep me salvation-wise and then not trust God to be able to keep His Word. I don't see the difference between those things. But I believe that the Bible is complete, and it even tells us that. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. For our whole life, it's saying right there, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And I tell you what, we've got an inspired word of God. When it says the scriptures, all scriptures given by inspiration of God, you know, that inspiration, that word is like a divine breathing, the breath of life of God. And that is in every page of His Word. That's why His Word is alive. And that's why His Word, when it gets in our heart and in our life, it makes us alive. And here's the thing. You know, we see a lot of times that the men and women of this world, they look at the Bible and they find faults. They find errors and contradictions, or so they say. They find shortcomings, or they just find verses they don't agree with, or parts of it they want to take out of the Bible. But do you realize when you and I or anybody judges God's Word and we say something against it, we are saying something against God Himself. This is God's Word, and And this is the reflection. This is his revelation. So when they, like I said before, I don't know how you could call God God and believe that he is perfect and complete and full, and then think that his word is short of that. You know what? God breathed it, and he inspired the men to write it down, and God kept it for us today. And here's the thing, that breathed word today, it is just as good for today as it was when God first gave it, and before then, and it will be after that day. And I'm here to tell, we can take it, and we can take God at his word and meditate on it, find truth in it, find wisdom and strength and grace for each day. You know what? God's word is more relevant than the news today. In fact, the news today will just discourage you and you'll question whether it's true or not. I believe that's no accident that the devil wants people not to trust anything that's put down in writing, because he doesn't want, he could care less about other things being true or not. He doesn't want anyone to believe this is true. And it is true, but it's relevant today. And people that say, well, you know, there are a lot of things that are like that. You know, I would ask somebody to get a book that's 3,000 years old, open it up, read it out today, and show me, number one, that it's error-free, but show me that it's relevant to everyone today. Only the Bible can do something like that. I'm not saying that old books have no value, but they'll teach us some historical things, might teach us a few things, but there is nothing like this book that every single word on every page is available for us, and it touches us, and it gives life, and it's real, and it has promises, and it judges, and everything else. No man could write something like that. Realize the Bible works for every culture, works for every age, every class, rich and poor, every level of education. I think about it. We can teach Bible stories to Harper, even the little children, and they understand it. Yet the Bible is so profound, you and I could get in it every day of our life and study it and meditate on it, and there is still more and more and more to be had. That's because it's God's word. It's amazing. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even unto the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It says right there that the word of God is quick, it's alive, it's living, and it's powerful. I tell you what, it is a privilege that we have this much power from God today. Every single verse has power to it and has life in it and will help us. From Timothy, we know it's profitable. And then it goes on and it talks about being sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's so sharp that it can discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. You realize that's why men don't like the Bible today. That's why they really don't like it, is because the Bible judges men's lives, judges their heart, judges their mind. And that's why this world doesn't like the Bible. This world doesn't like to be judged. They don't like to be told what to do. They don't like anything. And you think about it. The Bible tells us more truth about ourselves. And we either, men read it and they either ignore it or they find fault in it or whatever. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter if someone's living in complete wickedness or living a moral life, this what this world would call moral in society's viewpoint. This word of God cuts through all of that. We saw that this morning. The religious man, Nicodemus, it cut right through all of his religion when Jesus said, "You must be born again." That quick, you realize that's why the Pharisees wanted him dead, is because he said things like that. And there are men that want the Bible gone. I'm telling you, it's not banned yet. It's banned in a lot of countries around this world. And one day it could be banned here. I don't know. But I'm here to tell you that the only reason they would do that is because it's real and there's power to it, and the devil hates it. He hates it when we get into God's word. Why don't they judge out other books from the past like the Bible? Because those books don't judge their thoughts and intents of their heart. You know, in the first chapter of John, that's where we learn that Jesus Christ was the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ in His earthly ministry was a living, walking, breathing, talking manifestation of the Word of God. And the same men that hated Jesus while He was on the earth are the same men that hate His Word today. And they hate it for the same reason, because Jesus cut right through to the heart, and so does His Word today, cuts right through to the heart. They hate it now. We know that they don't like the Bible. But what about, see, society, we know their views. They don't like it because it judges them. But what's our view of the Bible? What's our take? What do we believe? We believe, right? We already said that it's inspired, that it's perfect, that it's error-free. But then the question is, if we believe that, then what do we do with it? And that's where we get to Psalm 119 tonight. In the first couple verses, I already told you, this psalm is dedicated to God's Word. And the first verse right there, look at the first word. It says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord." That first word tells us that we can use the Bible to live a blessed life. I don't know about you, but that's the type of life I want to live. I don't want to live a life full of trouble, full of heartache, pain, and problems. And here, God is telling us we can find joy and blessing and happiness in God's Word. But you know, it talks about first, blessed are the undefiled in the way. And that in the way is, I believe, is talking about the different paths that people's life take, the different directions. You know, and a lot of times will determine where you're at in your life, the family that you came from, the place where you live, the choices that you've made, and everything else. But you know, I don't know about you, but when you're trying to tackle something new, a lot of times I go to someone who's done it before, or someone who knows something about it. Maybe call them or ask them, so that way it's easier for me to do it, especially the first time. But here's the thing. When we're seeking advice, we need to seek advice from God. Because He's the one that knows better than all of us. And here it says, there's promised blessings for anyone who is undefiled in the way. Someone seeking to live a righteous life by letting the Bible guide their life. You know, that's something, unfortunately, that's not as popular even in churches. People will let all sorts of things guide their life, you know, whether their own wishes or desires or goals. And to the world, it seems ridiculous that we would let anything guide our life. It seems counterintuitive. Why? Because the world says the Bible takes away all the fun, doesn't it? But here's the thing. That is the exact opposite. You can't have blessings without God's Word. In fact, you can't have real fun without God's Word. You know what type of fun you have in the world? The type of fun you have is the joy in sin for a season. But the type of fun you have with God and God's people and God's Word doing righteous things is the type of fun you can remember the next day, and the type of fun where you're not ashamed of it, and the type of fun where you can encourage one another. That's the type of thing. We can have a blessed life being led by the Scriptures. But not only that, does it says the undefiled in the way, but verse 1, the second half, who says, blessed are who walk in the law of the Lord. Not walking in iniquity. Not walking in defilement and sin. Sometimes I think some try to commit as many sins as they can in between the church services. But here it says, walking according to God's Word and God's law. See, the problem is the unrighteousness, all it does is keep reaping things that you have to sow later. Right? Some of us, we've had to sow, we've had to encounter things, mistakes that we've made years ago. That's why God's trying to protect us, to walk in His way. A righteous life's a blessed life. God didn't design it to take away the fun, but He wanted to protect us from what sins have and the damage that sin causes. Oh, you think sin causes damage? Look around in this world. Look around. It is so sad when I hear from teachers, the type of children that come into the classrooms. Families are broken because of drugs and alcohol and different sins. You know, all these different things running rampantly. And I don't know about you, we are seeing an increase of mental health issues, and not just a gradual increase. It's exponential. It's hard to find people that don't have mental health problems today. And I think that
is because a lot of our society is encouraging sinful lifestyles, and they're being proud about it and fully accepting about it. And here's the problem. You wholeheartedly go against God's word, you're going to pay the price. You will. You can't find peace in sin. You can't find joy in it. Just pain. But here's the thing. We can use God's word to not only lead our life in the direction we need to go, but we need to use God's word to walk. That's an everyday, what we do each day, using God's word to show us how to act, how to speak, how to do things, what's expected of us. And that's the great thing. We don't have to guess. We don't have to take a poll. We don't have to figure out what's socially acceptable. And for me, a lot of times I have to look up the newest phrase because I don't know what they're talking about anymore. We don't have to do that. We can go on God's word that changes not. And that's a blessing. Let's go on to verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. It says there's blessings. Anyone that keeps his testimonies, keeping it, guarding it, preserving it, maintaining the word of God in their life. Not only do we need to let the word lead our life, we need to walk according to it, but we need to preserve the word. I've already told you it's under attack today. And it's not only under attack out in the world, it's under the attack in the church. Unfortunately, I see a lot of people I've said it before, they get so excited about the newest book to come out, so excited about this program and that program and everything else. And those things aren't bad in and of themselves. But when you skip right over this to something else, you're missing it. You're missing it. Being replaced by self-help books, New York Times bestsellers, and everything else. You realize God doesn't promise blessings in those things. He promises in it in his word. You know, the devil is the master of putting in something in between us and God. He's also the master of putting something in between us and his word too. He'll put a man in between. Like I said, I use commentaries and different things, but here's the thing. This has to be the main thing. Because you know what the problem is? Unfortunately, we're seeing several times a year, we're seeing men and women that used to be dedicated to God and even have written great things that are now saying, I'm not a Christian anymore, and walking away from the faith and everything else. If you put all your stake in one man and that man walks away from God, you're in trouble. But I tell you what, you can put all your stake in this and everyone can walk away and you can still stand on the truth. Amen. That's what's got to happen. But without the Bible, it's impossible to seek God with your whole heart. It's impossible to fully live in God's will. And God doesn't want just an academic thing where we're engaging the Bible with our brain only. He says he wants it with our whole heart. He wants our Bible to direct our mind and our heart into everything in our lives today. But you know what our problem is? Our hearts are divided today, isn't it? It's divided. Our loyalties are divided today. We want to be fully led by God, but we also want the world to lead us. We want to be fully walking with God, but then we also want to walk in our own ways. That's a divided heart right there. And God's saying, listen, you want the blessings? You've got to trust me and put it all in me. That's hard to do. It's hard to do. It's not easy. But that's part of the faith it takes to trust God and his word. Say, Mike, will we really get blessings from there? Try it. Yes. Try God on his promises and see that they're true. There's a constant struggle. We allowed the world to win too many times, and then we end up questioning God. God, I thought you said we'd find blessings. And then on the other end, God is saying, you didn't follow what I said. Yeah. That happens too many times. You know what God never said? We would rather rewrite these verses to say this: blessed is the man that determines his own way, right? That's what we would say. Who walks according to his own rules and ignores God's word. That's what the world wants in there, but that's not what God said. That's what the world does every day. But the problem is when it creeps into our hearts and minds, this type of thinking, the only thing that will counteract it is God's word. That's where we get to verse 4. This is the last one we'll look at tonight. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. You see that? He didn't say make up your own precepts. We talked about that in Sunday school. Some are racing to try to come up with all the different rules and everything else, just like the Pharisees were doing. And they invented all kinds of rules on top of God's word. And like I said this morning, they only invent rules that they know they can follow, right? God doesn't say, make up your own precepts. He says, I want you to keep mine. He's commanded us to keep his. This word is God's book. It's his law. And we're commanded to keep it.
Yeah.
To guard it, to meditate on it, to read it, and to apply it to our lives. And that word at the end of verse 4, I don't think it's an accident. He says, I want you to do all of that diligently, steady, applying it, making sure that we put care to it, and not just half doing something, not careless, not negligent, but quickly and continuously. That's what he's saying. Diligently, I want you to do that. You know, we can be diligent in a lot of things today. A lot of times the things that we like, you know, some are diligent in keeping a garden. Some are diligent at working out. You see that. They're always talking about it. Some are diligent at playing video games. Diligent for studying for classes. Diligent at their workplace. But are we really diligent to God's word? That's the question. You realize our Christian life will never go further than two things. We will never go further in our Christian life than our prayer life. And we will never go further in our Christian life than our studying God's word. That's it. People say they're super mature in Christ. Well, how's your prayer life and how's your life in studying God's word? You can't go past those two things. And a lot of times when I look at myself and I see shortcomings, I realize it's in one or both of those two areas right there. Time in God's word is not a waste. The devil tries us to get us to believe that, but it's precious time. Learning about our God and what he expects. And any time we're in God's word, it has to be soaked in prayer. Because we need help. Why? This book's bigger than we are. We've already said that. It's perfect. It's pure. It's preserved. Yes, a child can understand it. But we can't stay as a child all the time. We've got to level up. We've got to move up. And we've got to get more from God's word. Not getting something secret that no other person can get. But just getting something that God will give to us when we ask him for that. He will. Do you believe tonight? Let's go back to what we started with. Do you believe the Bible is perfect? Do you believe it's error-free, inspired by God, pure and preserved to every generation? If you say yes, then good. You need to be there. Now, is it completely guiding your life? Are you walking in it? Is it directing your way? Are you keeping it? And are you doing all of that diligently? I already said the devil's attacking families. He's attacking each and every one of us. He's attacking this church. He's attacking this land. What's our defense against it? It's the truth.
Yeah.
It's God's word. Because that cuts right through every error. Remember what I said? A whole lifetime of Nicodemus's learning. A whole, you know, all sorts of things written down of all of their rules and their extra things that they had to follow. All of that growing up under a rabbi that, and for years, and now becoming a master of Israel himself. Nicodemus had his whole life invested into it. And Jesus cut right through it with one line. Ye must be born again.
Yeah.
That's the same thing. No matter what falseness, it just takes a little bit of the word of God, it'll cut right through it. It'll cut right through our own selfish desires. It'll cut right through when we're on doing our own will versus God's will. It'll cut right through when we're when we're doing something against what God has called us to do. It'll cut through that. But not only will it do that, it will heal the wound by showing us how we can confess to him and find forgiveness, how we can go to him and find wisdom and direction, how we can go to him and find grace and strength and help in this way and see the precious promises. and know that this is only for a short time, a short season, but a vapor. And then one day, either we'll close our eyes in death, or the Lord will come back to get us, and we will open our eyes in victory, and we will see Jesus, and everything will be different. And I'm here to tell you, when we look back at our life and we stand before Him, we will not regret anything that we did for the Lord. We will not regret any time spent in His Word. We won't regret any of the time we walked in His way, any of the time we walked with God, any of the time we kept His commandments and His law. We won't regret any time that we did all of that diligently, because that's what will matter. The walking by faith, seeking God, and growing closer to Him. The regrets will be the time when we've done the opposite. This year, who knows what we'll face this year? We're so excited about coronavirus ending. Who knows if there's going to be a bigger struggle after that? I don't know. But I do know that whether it's a huge worldwide struggle or just a struggle in your life, either way, we've got to get closer to God. And His Word is enough. It's amazing that He would put all that into a book this small. You think about it, it's not that big. There are libraries with books upon books upon books. And then there's just this one right here. And God said, this is all you need.
Yeah.
And every bit of it's perfect and inspired and profitable. And I want you in it. And I want it to guide you. And I want you to walk by it. And let it help you. And I want you to do all that diligently. I think that's enough for us tonight. That's enough of a challenge, isn't it? What an amazing word it is. How precious is it?
Yeah.
Maybe you're thinking, Mike, I'm not sure how to do these things. God will help you. And a lot of times we just need to make things a priority in our life. That means maybe you got to push something out of the way to put God's word in its place. Maybe you think about that this week. What's something that could be cast aside that could be replaced with time in God's word? What can be cast aside that be replaced with prayer? That's not a waste. That's doing what God's called us to do. I'm going to ask everyone to stand tonight.